3 to 14.
Vielleicht abwechselnd Luther und Elberfelder. Vers 3, Luther, 4, Elberfelder und so weiter bis Vers 10, ja?
They're going to read alternating in the different German translations, but we'll just read it through. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters." Amen. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So this evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Just to verse 10. It was good. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together, and let the dry land appear. Lord, tonight, let the dry land appear. Give us life in your word, Lord. We tell you again tonight, we need you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Yes, Lord, we tell you, we are here for you. We've come here to go on with you. Yes, speak us onward, all together. Praise the Lord. We are really here to go on. We're not here because we don't have anything better to do than just to spend a week here in the area here called Blaubeuren. Or, Jonah, do you have anything better to do? It's not the region here, but it's the Spirit that's brought us here. Yes, praise the Lord. So let us really focus our heart upon Him in this time. Today is the second day. And let's consider what has happened in me within the last 24 hours. Has anything happened to me within the last 24 hours? Or is everything still like yesterday? And if we don't notice any big change, then we should tell the Lord, "Lord, tonight, change my condition. Tonight, I need to go onward. I'm here to go on with you and with the saints." It's not about just having a youth conference year after year. Really, that's not what it's about. Not because we just like to have this conference and it's a nice time. No, the Lord really has a burden for this time, because the Lord always has a burden, especially for young people. If you read the Bible carefully, how old were the people whom God called for His purpose? You think Moses was 80. 80 years old. That's a long, long ways for me from now, but that's not true. Actually, already when Moses was a young man, he already had a heart for the Lord. In Hebrews 11, we see that when he was young, he did not want to belong to this world. To Pharaoh, he rejected Pharaoh's riches. So let's see, how old were they? Were they all already retired? Because that's where you have more time once you're retired. We know the disciples. the disciples were young when they were called. They weren't retired. And now, in this week, the Lord wants to call us, the young people. He wants to call us for His purpose. We don't just have a salvation, we have a calling. Lucas, babe, if I ask you, are you saved? Yes, of course. Are you called? Yes, okay, but what for? To glory. Hallelujah. Okay, so he paid attention last night. Yeah, we have a calling. That means there's a goal. God brought us here with a purpose. And in this time, we want to come closer to this goal. We want to say, Lord, call me anew again tonight. Call me every day during this time so that I can go on, so God's purpose can go on. It would be so wonderful with all of us if all of us would hear this calling this week. That would have such a great meaning for the Lord. And what we've heard up to now is very, very fundamental and important. I think when we read Genesis chapter 1, maybe you ask yourself, why does God spend 3 days to separate? First to speak, then to separate, and then the day is already over. When you read the first day, God said, let there be light. There was light. And God divided the light from the darkness, and then He gives it names, day and night. And that was the first day. Maybe you think, well, that's not very exciting. No, you can do that quickly. But the second day, the Lord God is separating again. But in to a further extent, waters from above, waters from below, heaven and earth. And then it was evening and it was morning, and that was the second day. Now, on the third day, God separates again. We have to ask ourselves, why couldn't He have done this all in one day? Why does God take so much time for these 3 steps of separation? And I think it has to do with the fact that God wants to show us how important this work of separation is in us believers. We like to talk about life, the enjoyment of life, right, Philip? What songs, what are your favorite songs in the songbook? We love to eat the Lord, right? We love to sing these songs, they're our favorite. But the secret, the mystery and the revelation in Genesis 1 is that without this work of separation, there is no life. That's very important. If we don't have these 3 types of separation, there will be no life. Not even grass. Not even grass would be able to grow. And that explains to us, it shows us why there is often so little life in us. Why we just keep standing still. We're saved, but yet the Lord can't increase and grow as He should be able to. What's the reason? It's a really important question, because God certainly doesn't want us to be born again and then remain the same year after year. We can find an answer in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 explains to us why this separation, this work of separation in us believers today is so important, so that life can come forth and that the life that God gave us would be able to grow. Growth of life. Let's read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Gutes und Böses zu unterscheiden.
To discern. Exercise to discern. Here again we see this word similar to separation, discernment. Here we see the reason why it is that sometimes, even over years, we don't make big steps onward. We don't make any progress. The reason is because we have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. How can it happen? How does this separation and discernment in Genesis 1 take place? It always begins with God said. God said. We're not going to make a catalog here. We're going to have a left column and a right column. What you are allowed to do and what you are not allowed to do. Okay, we're going to make a catalog here, a list. Do's and don'ts. So, something we can write down, I think they're quite obvious, because on the first day, light and darkness, it's very clear. So, to be drunk, to get drunk, that's not allowed. That's darkness. Or the Bible also talks about evil lusts. It's also a don't, can't do it. The Bible also talks about adultery. It's also not allowed. Definitely, in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, we can write it down. I don't need to because Paul already wrote it down in Galatians 5. As of verse 19, all of these works of the flesh are darkness. If you want to know what the works of darkness are, then read Galatians 5. It's written there in detail. But what are we allowed to do? What are the do's of this list? How do we make the separation? How do we discern in our daily life? The discernment that we make has to do, on one hand, with the Word of God, with the written Word, like I said, Galatians 5, verse 19 and on, or Colossians 3 tells us very clearly what we're not allowed to do. The Bible even says, if we have to do with that, then we will not inherit the kingdom, guaranteed. You can get this guarantee today, already. If you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means this discernment, this separation, is very, very important. Otherwise, there is no reward. But yet, if we only remain in this realm, then we will never come onward. Only if you don't get drunk every night doesn't mean that you're going to automatically grow in life. Of course, that you don't do it is already good and important, but that alone isn't sufficient. Rather, what we need is an ear for the Spirit. In Hebrews 5 it says, you have become dull of hearing. How often does the Spirit speak to us in one day? How often does the Lord tell us, let that be? Don't do it. It's not important. It just robs you of your time. Don't occupy yourself with such matters. And how often do we then answer with amen? Yeah, this is the practical discernment, practical separation. God said, let there be light. And then it says, God separated the light. He divided the light from the darkness. Maybe often we hear the Lord's voice, but it's just as important that we react accordingly in the way that the Lord spoke to us. Because it's like this, if the Spirit says, let it be, and I don't, then after a while I will become dull. I won't have an ear for His speaking anymore. And then, don't be surprised, the life of the Lord can't grow anymore. His life can't spread out in you because there's so many things in you that hinder the Lord to take over more room inside of you. Lord Jesus Christ, we should tell the Lord, Lord, give me an ear for the Spirit. Yes, Lord Jesus, give us an ear for our conscience. Our conscience is so important. No matter how long you've been a Christian, this work of separation, division, must never stop. Otherwise, we will start to backslide. So whenever the Lord speaks to me, it's an exercise for me to say, Amen, Amen, I let it go. Have you exercised this before? Maybe you're in front of your computer or in the internet, or maybe because of your job or because of your studies or private. Then you're in front of your computer and you're on your phone. And I don't know what you're doing. I mean, you can do a lot of things with a computer, even useful things. And you're busy, and then the Lord says, let it go. Don't do that because it doesn't give you any life. Come to me. How quickly do we say, Amen, Lord? How quickly can we really let the thing go? There's a group, maybe that there's a group of Christians that believes you can't use any of these things. Everything comes from the devil. Now, if that were the case, we would have difficulties organizing the UCO without a computer. It would have been quite difficult with such a large group. But, okay, so we have to use a computer. But the question is, am I captured by it? Am I entangled by it? If the Lord calls me, am I free or am I entangled? The question is how often. The question isn't how often are you in the computer. The question is, are you freed from your computer? And how can you tell if you're freed? If the Lord calls you, you say Amen, and that's it. We need to exercise this. We have so much time after the Young People's Conference to exercise this work of separation, and always to say Amen to the Lord when He speaks to us. Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're not going to make a list here. Okay, you're not allowed to read any novels. If you're in the church, you can't read novels. No books. That's not the matter. The question is, what does the Spirit speak to you? Does the Spirit even speak to you anymore? Let's ask it like this. Or maybe the Spirit can't break through in you anymore. We really need to train ourselves and say, Lord, I want to gain such a discernment. Yes, Lord. And not as a rough discernment, like I've written here. Everyone can discern that. We should discern heavenly and earthly, spiritual and life. How do you know what is from your soul and how do you know what is from your spirit? Rainer, how can you tell? By turning to the Spirit, he said. Amen. Let's read a verse. Can you think of a verse that discerns soul and spirit? Okay, say it out loud. It's Hebrews 4:12. He's going to read it aloud. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God. It doesn't work without our God. We have a living God. We want that He speaks to us and that He discerns in us. And we don't just want to discern between flesh and spirit, but we want to go onward further and say, Lord, discern in me soul and spirit. How often have we prayed this? Lord, discern within me soul and spirit. Expose in me whenever I am so soulish. How is our feeling for the discernment between soul and spirit when I'm speaking, when I'm talking? Do I consider, is this from the spirit or is this from the soul? Or as long as it's good, it's okay. We talk so much with each other here at the conference. We walk around, we take walks, we eat together, we talk and talk and talk. We need to ask ourselves, what are we speaking? What are we talking about? Is it spiritual or is it soulish? Is it from the Lord? Or is it just, I have a good friend, my favorite brother, my favorite sister, and we take a walk and we talk and talk and talk. So important. We should ask the Lord, Lord, discern within me soul and spirit. You know, on the first day, it's talking about sin and not sin, good and evil. But on the second day, it's about soul and spirit. So it's good and good. Discern between what's good and good. How do you do that? It's earthly and heavenly. That's the difference between the first day and the second day. And for this, we need exercise. We need a training. We need a willingness to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to know this difference. Yeah, Lord, speak to me. Lord, discern in my speaking, soul and spirit, Lord Jesus. Amen. In Hebrews 5, verse 14 says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, and who, by reason of use, or by constant use, in another translation, by constant use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We should really come forward, press on to the second day, and say, Lord, at this young people's conference, it's not just about not doing good or bad, but Lord, I want to be in the spirit. I don't want to be in my soul. Even when we're walking around and talking to each other, Lord, in the spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. I think if we were to have such a discernment, I don't think actually we've exercised this so much. Let's read another verse. Maybe we know this from the spring conference still. Ezekiel 42, verse 20. Ezekiel 42, verse 20. He measured it. He measured the wall. He's talking about the wall. On the four sides, it had a wall all around it, all around the temple in Ezekiel, 500 cubits long and 500 wide, to separate the holy areas from the evil. To separate the holy areas from the common. From the common. Lord Jesus, I'm so used to living in my soul. I don't have to think about it. I simply live in my soul. It's so common to me. And this hinders the growth of life in us. You know, what's dangerous about it is that the life of the Lord can't grow in us. It can't go on. We need such a wall. We need such discernment to discern holy from the common. It's wonderful. I think especially when we talk to each other, we need such a discernment. Lord Jesus. For example, Ephesians chapter 5. What did Paul say? In verse 3, he talks about the first day. I hope you can follow me and understand what I mean. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. And in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Maybe you can think, oh, Paul, really, you've gone over the top. You're exaggerating. It's a bit too much. Paul isn't exaggerating. He wants that the life of the Lord can grow in us. The second day is so very much important. It's all not fitting, but rather giving of thanks.
Paul
has such a sense of discernment, what is fitting and what is not fitting. May the Lord also give us such a sense of discernment. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us such a discernment. Lord Jesus, let us really exercise this. Lord Jesus. And when we understand what the Lord wants to continue to separate in us, let's see what He wants to separate on the third day. On the third day, verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the land, the dry land, appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. A third discernment. Hallelujah. And on the third day, what's so important about the third day in the Bible? Simon, what's the third day? When did the Lord resurrect? On the third day. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. How did the Lord say He had to be killed and then resurrect on the third day? So the third day is the day of resurrection. And so now the Lord continues. He makes a third separation, a third discernment between death and life. This is even finer. It's more refined. And the more we get to know the Lord, the more we will notice a difference between death and life, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, there's such a wonderful difference. The Lord wants to really bring us into this experience. Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, Lord. Death and life. Let's read a verse in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Let's read this verse together. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. It shows us the difference between death and life. Lord Jesus. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In Romans 7, verse 6. Romans 7, verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Amen. In the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Not to serve. Serving in the newness of the Spirit. I want to make a sketch. Maybe many of you already know it. Just drawing three circles on the board. I think most of us have seen this sketch before. The outer circle is a picture for man. How God, actually the whole thing is a picture of how God created man with three parts, a body, soul, and a spirit. Praise the Lord. And with a spirit. That's the most important part. And we read the verse in Ephesians chapter 2. It said that when we were still unbelievers, we were dead in sin and trespasses. How can you be dead if you're still sinning? Apparently, sinners still seem to be alive to a certain extent, otherwise they wouldn't be able to continue to sin. But what the word means by it is that our spirit is dead. In Romans 5, even says that death has penetrated our entire being in God's eyes. It reigns throughout our entire body. Our body became flesh. Our soul became ourself, our ego.
Me,
myself, and I. And our spirit is completely without function, out of order. And this is now what has happened to man. We have flesh, we have an ego, and we have a dead spirit. This is really sad. It's waste, empty, abyss, darkness, and dead water. All buried under dead water. This is what man looks like without God. But, praise the Lord, we also read in Ephesians 2, verse 4, that God, but God who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's wonderful. That's the good news. When we believed in the Lord, then Christ came into our spirit. He didn't enter just anywhere inside of us, but He came right into our spirit and He made our spirit alive again. The dry became visible again. Just like in Genesis chapter 1, the spirit is like the dry part in all of us. We are covered with dead water. But since our being born again, something became dry in us again, that the life of God can grow on it. Their spirit became alive again. Praise the Lord, we are all born again in our spirit. This is wonderful news. Hallelujah. And now, the Spirit in us is alive. But our soul, our self, our ego is still all dead. This dead water is still very much present. And now, the Lord wants to spread out. He wants to drive back all the dead waters more and more from the soul to the from the spirit to the soul. If we see that this was our condition, then our spirit was born again. And then we read Revelation 21 verse 1. Revelation 21 verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Amen. Also, there was no more sea. Praise the Lord. There was no more sea. Praise the Lord. In this time, all dead waters will be cast out of us by the Spirit. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord for the Spirit in us. The Spirit in us is the most wonderful part that we have as man. And He will drive back all of the dead water. And how does He do this? In 1 Corinthians 15:45. I'll read that. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Or, yeah, to the life-giving spirit. The resurrected life. Every time the Spirit gives you life, then this dead water is pushed back, driven back. That's why we need more the life-giving Spirit. Lord, make this discernment within us. And how do we receive this Spirit? In Ephesians 5, there's more written, not only what we read earlier, but also how the Spirit gives us life. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is how the death is driven back in us more and more. Be filled with the Spirit. In the morning watch, when we're in our rooms having morning watch, we're not doing it just because it's good to have morning watch, but we're doing it to be filled with the Spirit, that the death in us can be swallowed up, right? Lord Jesus, Lucas, do you ever notice sometimes how you're dead? Yeah, especially in the morning when you wake up. Sometimes in the morning when you wake up, you're not only dead in your body, but you're also dead in your spirit. What do you want to do? Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Every morning, you tell the Lord, "Lord, swallow up all death in me. Lord, now give me the life-giving Spirit." So good. To push back all death, to drive out all death, cast it out. Because the Spirit gives us a wonderful life. He gives us resurrection life. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15 from verse 54. So wonderful the life that the Lord gives us. 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. So good to say, death is swallowed up in victory. To exercise our faith. The Lord is resurrected, and we are resurrected together with Him. And that's why, again and again, when we notice how death comes up in us, spiritual death comes up and wants to cover up and flood your dry land, then you can say, "Lord, no, death is swallowed up in victory." That's so good. Death doesn't have any power over us anymore. We sang that in the song. earlier, and this is, we need an exercise of the faith for this. Maybe you feel dead, but your feeling, your emotions is not the truth. But the Word is the truth. And that is so important, that again and again we exercise our faith together, mixed and mingled with the Word. We not just believe anything, we believe the Word. And the Spirit works with us when we are standing upon the Word in faith. We can try this out. This time, during the morning watch, don't just sit there silently, half an hour, mouth zipped, closed, till it's over. But exercise your faith. Open up your mouth. Even if you don't feel good, even if you're tired, open up your mouth and say, "Death is swallowed up in victory." That'll be a different morning watch. And this drives back all death in us. This is so important for the Lord to go on with us. Yes, Lord Jesus. It's really wonderful. Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We can read another passage that confirms this in Ezekiel 37, from verse 7 on. Ezekiel 37, from verse 7 on. Amen. I'll read it aloud. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Verse 8, indeed as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Praise the Lord. So I prophesied. This is really a key. In order to overcome death, it's so important that we learn to prophesy. We speak the word with faith. Our feeling isn't truth. Also, what we think isn't truth, but the word is truth. And if we speak this in faith, then the Spirit will come and swallow up all death. We need this, Lord Jesus. How often have we experienced this? We want to pray, and then you notice, it's hard. You go tired. 2 minutes later, you fall into a deep sleep. Even though before that, you were in good shape. If it's about something else, we can go on until midnight and you don't notice you're tired at all. It's 1 a.m. and you're still in good shape. But when the meeting is at 7:30 p.m. and then after 5 minutes, you're so tired. What's this? That's death. That's death. Because this death is also in your flesh. And your flesh doesn't like prayer. Yourself, your ego doesn't like to pray. And when it's about preaching the gospel, all of a sudden your mouth is closed up. Before that, you can talk for hours. Then you should preach the gospel to somebody and then you have no idea what you should say. It's amazing, isn't it? Some people can talk so much, but then when they say they want to preach the gospel, they ask, what should I say? Yeah, that's death. That is death. And this death needs to be driven back in us. This death needs to be swallowed up in us, consumed. When it's about the gospel, when it comes to the gospel, then we should have something to say. And when we go into prayer, then we should become alive. That's resurrection. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So good when we all experience resurrection every day until there is no more sea anymore. When we experience the power of resurrection, then we'll become living. And then the Lord has an exceedingly great army. For this we need life. That's why we need life, so that the Lord can go on. Yeah, Lord Jesus. The Lord wants to complete His work in us. The beginning, last night we heard, the Lord is coming back soon. How when I think about it, everything else isn't important anymore. What is your college worth if the Lord comes back? When the Lord comes back, how important is if I finish this task at work if the Lord comes back tomorrow? The Lord isn't interested in it at all. How important is it for us to finish building the church so that the Lord can come? Lord Jesus. We need such an exercise, just like in Ezekiel 37, to prophesy to the breath, not just to submit to our emotions and feelings, but when your feelings, emotions come up and tell you, you can't pray now. You should keep your mouth shut. You don't have anything to say. You didn't have a good day. Don't go to the prayer meeting. Or you can go to the prayer meeting, but don't pray. Or maybe they says, don't go at all. Yeah, you can't. You're so dead, you're of no use. You did this and that today, so just you better stay at home. Haven't you ever thought like this before? Then you need to say, prophesy. I prophesy. Breath. Come and breathe upon me that I become alive again. I can testify often I came like I was slain into the prayer meeting, but after the prayer meeting I left alive. I stood up on my feet. We stood up on our feet and we were like an exceedingly great army. That's why I encourage all of you, go to the prayer meeting. But don't just go, pray when you're there. Prophesy when you're there. Then this breath of life will come into you. Sometimes if you just sit there silently, you wonder why no life enters into you. Because the breath of life, it enters into your mouth. So it needs our cooperation. The Spirit needs our cooperation so that this death can be swallowed up in us. It's so very important for God's purpose. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, amen. So that's the burden that is so important for us to learn to cooperate together with the Lord. Then the life of the Lord will come to appearance more and more, and the Lord can complete His work in us too. The Lord said to the church in Sardis, you have the name that you are alive, but you are dead. And He said, but I didn't find your works completed before my God. Because it's like a break. It's like brakes that want to hold us back, slow us down. But when we have the Word, we see we have a way to overcome death by prophesying, exercising faith, and completing the work of the Lord together. So wonderful if we can be the generation that finishes the Lord's work. That's why the Lord is a resurrection in us. Yes, praise the Lord. We have the resurrected one living in us. So let us all exercise to overcome this death and go on with the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.